Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50.
Oh,
and
he's Cordero gone.
Patterson is gone! Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown. Cordero Patterson.
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
X's and O's is on the radio with Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports, and I'm Paul Allen. Sorry about the outcome at Chicago, Green Bay next. We'll talk about that momentarily. With that in-stadium clock situation, if that had been working properly, it's impossible to say exactly what Teddy Bridgewater would have done in that situation, but do you think the odds are he probably wouldn't have forced it into the end zone? And, you know, with a guy coming across the middle who eventually ended up being open, maybe he would have been more patient and thrown it to Thielen and lived to play another down, correct?
Well, I think, Paul, that obviously we don't know exactly what would have happened in that situation, but I have faith in Teddy that if he knew that he had almost a minute left in the ball game and we had the ball down there that close, that he would take what was given to him, and then we have a chance to clock the ball and kind of regroup and then take our shots into the end zone. So you never really know, but we feel like that was probably the case, yes.
Last one forever on the clock. In hindsight, is it possible for the officials to literally stop the game after each play and inform people how much time is left? Because, I mean, it's impossible to also think that teams should be required to play blindly.
Yeah, I don't think they would stop the play. I did talk to the league office about some of the protocol that they might have to try to do, and stopping the play was not one of them, but maybe mentioning after the play that there's so and so seconds left, and so everybody in the stadium knows as well.
Mike, how do you handle watching a game back and not becoming too frustrated when you see big plays left on the field or maybe mistakes that are being made that lead to scores by the other team? How does that not really, really frustrate you?
Well, it does. It really, really frustrates me. And, you know, but then you have to look at the good things you did and try to figure out the mistakes you made and why you made those mistakes and then correct them and go forward.
And off that, how you mentioned Monday at your press conference that on Marshall's long touchdown, Josh Robinson, quote, wasn't supposed to be by himself, end quote. How do you make sure the person assigned to help doesn't make the same mistake again?
Well, you never know that he's not going to make the same mistake again, but it's a pretty simple principle that we have in our defense, and we shouldn't be making those kind of mistakes.
What's leading to these fast Green Bay starts? When you watch back their games, specifically the last two, what's happening so that they're throttling teams early?
Well, they have great execution is probably the number one thing, but you know, they hit big plays, they make a lot of shots down the field. They've been playing at home, they've been playing at night, a lot of good factors for them, but they're a good football team, and that's probably the biggest thing. They've got good players, the quarterback's great, they've got some great receivers and running backs, both running backs are awfully good, and defensively they've got a lot of guys up front that can really rush.
What was markedly different about Green Bay at New Orleans? I know the quarterback threw two interceptions, but they did both deflect off his receiver's hands. What was most different in that game for them compared to beating the Bears and beating the Eagles?
Well, they weren't quite as sharp. They missed some throws that they make at home. They didn't run the ball quite as effectively, and so and I think both of the defenses in those away games had done a nice job.
With Philadelphia and or Chicago with Green Bay, do you sense when the Packers open up a two score lead and they're really starting to roll, that the other teams kind of go out of body, maybe pass too much or do some things with which they're not comfortable?
Well, I think it allows their defense to be a lot more aggressive in the things they do, which kind of gets the offense off kilter a little bit, and then it creates turnovers, and you know, they've had a punt return and a fumble return, and so they, a lot of these things kind of add to these 50-point explosions that they've had.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. What's your philosophy, or what are your feelings on winning time of possession? I mean, not like two-thirds of the game the way the Bears won it over the weekend, but winning time of possession, how important is that to you?
Well, it's important, but the score is the most important, and but the more that you can keep the opponents off the field and you're on the field, the more third downs you can convert. All those things add to it. The number of runs that you have and third down conversions really add to it. And quite honestly, it wears a defense out and keeps the momentum away from the other team.
And did you see that with your defense at Chicago? In hindsight, looking at how much the team was on the field, you have the highest expectations anybody's going to find. But being on the field two-thirds of the game, that's really difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, most of the time it's caused by your own fault. A lot of times defensively last week we didn't get off the field. We didn't tackle as well as we needed to. And then offensively it didn't help by not converting some of those third downs earlier in the ballgame.
Do you, being a defensive guy, what is your philosophy offensively, like your coaching identity? For instance, do you want to run frequently and beat down teams? You know, nobody ever talks to you about offense.
Well, the biggest thing I want to do is move the ball, however we have to do it. I want to be able to take shots. I like to be able to pound the ball and run it against these teams and kind of show the identity that we have. We haven't been able to do that near as much as I would like this year, but eventually we'll get to that point and where you can hit these play-action passes and get some shots down the field.
He's not Deion Sanders, but I love how Xavier Rhodes is playing this season. And on that fourth and goal with Jay Cutler, how he got off that block with Jermon Bushrod, I thought was fantastic. Got the first interception of his career. I love how he's playing. Do you?
Well, I like a lot of things about Xavier. He's very conscientious. He works very hard. He's always got a smile on his face, and he's a tough guy. I like to have tough guys. He's a very, very good athlete that's learning the position. He's still very, very young in his development. I still consider him basically a rookie in a lot of the ways that of things that we're teaching him. But I do like his progression so far to this point.
The brilliant fake punt. What do you have to see to know that it's good to do it at that time?
Well, it's mostly a gut feeling of where we were. You know, we've had it called in a couple other situations and didn't get the right look. And so early in the ball game, Mike came up to me right before the third down and says, if it's here. And I said, well, let's see where it's at. And then I kind of gave him a nod. And it worked out well.
Sendejo, he's the one who got the team down inside the 10-yard line. I thought it was at the 2 because he was tripped by his own guy, but the referees, for whatever reason, decided to move it back to the 7. That's a conversation for another day. Who were some of the guys to free Sendejo on that play? Some of the under-the-radar type guys?
Well, Adam Thielen did a nice job with the ball handling because we started one way and then handed it back off to him. Red Ellison did a good job of pulling around the corner. Jasper Brinkley did a nice job of blocking down. Gerald Hodges did a nice job of blocking down. And we secured the backside very well as well.
How come Brian Robinson early in the game was given a forced fumble but not credited with a sack on that strip very early in the game, the one you challenged?
Yeah, it was a funny situation. The official came over and said, you understand you have to have a clear recovery in order to get the ball. And I said, yeah, it's very clear. And so when they came over, they said that the ball was laying on the ground and everybody had stopped playing. So they blew it dead.
Right.
But they should have told me that before, obviously before I challenged it. That was the case, but it's a good lesson for our defense too. We got to get on the ball.
Last one on Green Bay. What makes Jordy Nelson such a tough cover?
Well, he does a lot of good things. He's fast, but he's tough. He uses his hands well. He pushes and gets to the right spots. You know, he catches the ball extremely well. Him and Rodgers have a great rapport in everything that they do, and he's not afraid to block. He's not afraid to run the hard routes. And every time he's going as hard as he can go.
And on that, I don't know what the plan was last time, but Nelson had one catch. It was a touchdown on clearly a blown coverage. Randall Cobb had 3 receptions in the game. So the plan against those guys seemed to be okay. okay despite the final score. Are you able to execute something close to that plan again, or do you have to change it because you've already played once?
Well, I think each week is a different week, and some of the things they're doing, obviously they have the same personnel, and the quarterback is great, and you know, we're always trying to affect the quarterback in a number of different ways. But we don't always do the exact same things when we come out and play somebody. We try to do what we can do very good and still limit our opponents to what they're doing.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good week.
Okay, thank you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks to Xfinity. This is X's and O's. When we return, we will learn more about that fake punt and talk some special teams with Minnesota Vikings special teams coordinator Mike Prefer. This is X's and O's presented by Xfinity. I'm Paul Allen on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity. We thank the head coach for joining us recently and sharing his thoughts on the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. And we also invite you to join me and Paul Charchi on Friday morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings at Southdale in Edina for the Friday football feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page, the Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com. Minnesota Vikings longtime special teams coordinator Mike Prefer joins us now. Hello, Coach Prefer. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing okay. The old fake punt at Chicago. Take us through it. How did you know that was a good time to do it?
Well, that's obviously Coach Zimmer's call. We'd been working on that fake for a few weeks, and we felt like that was a really good time to do it, and felt like if we got the look we wanted that we were going to go ahead and run it.
When 30, DeMontre Hurst, their nickel corner, he was out wide right as part of a tandem. When he kind of sneaked in, was that the indicator, okay, we can get Andrew around that side?
Could be or could not be. That's a strategic right. advantage. I'm not going to give any of our listeners that advantage in case they're Chicago Bears fans.
Yep, got it, no doubt. Where was the onside kick? I mean, it would have been perfect to do a fake field goal, an onside kick, something like that.
Well, we had them all in. We just didn't get a chance to run them.
Yeah. Now, if a fake punt like that doesn't work, how do you feel?
I think you call it and run it, and Coach Zimmer's very aggressive, and it's great to work for a man like that because he knows that with all the preparation, he knew that we had a chance to not only, if we had a chance to run it, we're going to have a chance to get the first down. And I think if you don't get it, it's kind of like a turnover, and, you never want that. And
yep.
So we had to be pretty darn sure that we had a good possibility to go ahead and run that.
How excited do your guys get when they know maybe that's coming? Like you said, you've been doing it in practice for several weeks but didn't find the opportunity. Now it's on. And how do you almost have to control the level of excitement to not share the tell?
I think that's a great question. I think what they it happened so quickly, and we weren't planning on running it until I was standing up to Coach Zimmer, and he said, let's do it. And so I changed the call, and we went ahead and ran it, and just within 10 seconds it was over. I don't think they had time to get excited about it.
Because I was watching back the all-22 of the play just to see Ellison's block, to see it was almost a block in the back, but he got away with it, to see Mike Motti down the field, see what happened there, Sherrill's with his block and everything.
Right.
And right before the play on the sidelines, there's you, and there's Blair Walsh right next to you. And I'm thinking, wow, Blair's awfully attentive during this play. So you almost have to, get with one of your guys and go, hey, back up a little bit. Calm down here, okay?
He's always watching. He actually came over and asked which way we were punting the ball, because the only people on the field that knew we were going to run the fake were the head coach, myself, and the 11 guys running it.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So it worked out pretty well.
It was brilliant. 48-yard by Andrew Sandejo. Quite honestly, I never knew he was that fast.
We knew he was fast enough, and he was more elusive than I thought he was. I thought he did a great job, and really, he got down to the 1.5-yard line before a Chicago Bear touched him, unfortunately. But
yep.
We scored the next play, so it worked out. We set up a touchdown. It was great.
Anybody tease Mike Motti for tripping Andrew Sandejo before he went into the end zone?
Well, I know I did, and I'm sure a lot of the other guys did, too. he got bumped into him. He was trying to go down and make a play. And typical Michael Motti, he was always hustling and working downfield, trying to get an extra block, and he just got bumped into him.
And Bridgewater threw it to Ellison on the next play and scored, and all was good. Last one on this. You mentioned that he was down to the 1.5 or the 2. For kind of a frustrating moment with the officiating, I'm not going to ask you to bash the officials. We had the Robinson-Cutler fumble moment early in the game. We had the clock situation at the end. A little questionable the way that was handled. And then on the Sandejo thing, when I watched it back, he was tripped by his own guy at the 7, and he crawled ahead to the 2 before before he was touched down. Right. So that ball should have been on the 2, not the 7, right?
That's what I thought too. But it's hard to tell. And in the official, you can tell. I mean, first of all, they're surprised as well by that type of play. They're waiting for a punt, and so that's difficult on them. And their mechanics change a little bit because now, instead of a punt play, it becomes a running play.
Right.
So you know, it worked out, and I'm glad it did. It was an exciting play for us and helped us get a touchdown.
Your second year punter, Jeff Locke. I know when we would chat last year, there were some moments where you would say he was overthinking it, and then he had a rough moment at Mall of America Field against Green Bay when Micah Hyde returned a punt for a touchdown. You get Micah again this weekend. But then after that, it seemed to be all up for Jeff. What kind of season is he having this year?
And again, it's different because we're not kicking indoors. It's been outside, and I think he's handled the elements very, very well. Mentally, he's gone into every game, had great pregames, and to be quite honest, he's had some outstanding punts in some bad weather situations and windy situations, and then he's had some punts that we'd like back, or they were less than perfect punts, I call them. So he's been a little bit inconsistent, but you know, he's worked very, very hard. He does overthink some things, and this week, we're going to focus on his drop, his leg swing, just being consistent and being confident, to be quite honest, because he's a very good punter. He's a very talented young man, and we look forward to some great things for him down the stretch.
When you simplify for a punter, does that entail channeling, say, your inner Shane Leckler, your inner Mike Cyphers? Just boom the thing down the center of the field, mm-hmm. make it high, make it far, right. And then we'll worry about angles later.
Right, because we're covering punts extremely well right now, and I'm excited about what we're doing with our punt team compared to a year ago when we gave up that punt, return to Micah Hyde. That was a great punt. We just didn't cover it very well. So we've done a better job at the gunner position this year. We've done a really nice job inside, and hopefully that continues.
Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings on X's and O's provided by Xfinity. With the omissions into the season of guys like Jamarcus Sanford and Larry Dean and some other people, there were some people on whom you counted for years in all facets of your special teams game. And that includes Robert Blanton, who now is a starting safety. So you had a fair amount of turnover. Has there been an adjustment that you guys have had to make?
I think the biggest adjustment, athletically, the young men are doing a great job, the younger players that we've brought in and drafted. And Rick does a great job of forming our roster with guys at the bottom part of the roster that are good special teams players. And he's done that for years, which is why we've been pretty good. But I think the only thing frustrating for me was the penalties. If you take away the penalties, the guys are playing hard. They're getting better every week. They believe in what we're doing. We've got some great leadership provided by Andrew Zendejo. Harrison Smith, even though he doesn't play a lot of special teams, he's a great leader for us. Colin Leffler's been a leader for us this year. So I'm excited about where this team is and where we're going and the direction our special teams is going for the rest of the year.
Blair Walsh absolutely is one of the best kickers in the NFL, in my opinion, overall kickers. That includes touchbacks. Missed that 38-yard field goal at Chicago. That was weird. Just not used to seeing that.
I'm not either, and he's not either. I think he just pushed it right. The wonderful thing about Blair and Jeff and a lot of the guys is they don't make excuses. He came over and said, "Coach, I pushed it right, and he didn't hit it as true as he wanted to." And you know, there are no gimmies in the NFL. I don't care if you're kicking an extra point inside or you're kicking a 50-yard field goal. In the NFL, there are no gimmies. There's a snap, a hold, a kick, a protection. Everything's involved. So, you know, I hear announcers say that all the time on TV, or you know, I don't watch a lot of NFL. Obviously, college ball on a Saturday night. Oh, this is a gimme. Well, there are no gimmies. There's no gimme field goal. And at any level. So I think, Blair didn't make any excuses, but he's going to go out. He made the next field goal. He kicked off extremely well for us like he's been doing all year, and he's made another, 4 or 5 50-yarders. So he's doing a great job for us.
Is Cordarrelle Patterson close to a return touchdown?
I think so. You know, we had one opportunity last week, and people aren't kicking to us, but yet we're still fourth or fifth in the league, whatever we are, in drive start after kickoff return. So we're doing our job in terms of giving our offense good field position, but in terms of the big play, we haven't had that yet in either return phase, and that's what I'm looking forward to, you know, down the stretch. We got to get, you know, a big play out of the kickoff return. We got to get a big play out of the punt return team in order to help us win this weekend.
And what about Marcus Sherrills? I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Mike, but he went from, okay, we have a safe guy back there who's not going to be explosive, but he's not going to drop it. Then he became explosive. Now he looks like safe guy again.
I don't think he's a safe guy. I mean, I can understand why you said that, because we haven't had a lot of explosive returns. He's had three explosive 20-plus returns called back because of penalties this year. And, you know, you add those in there, and he's having another solid year. And even without those, he's having a solid year. And I trust him back there. He's made some good decisions overall. Again, just like Cordero, I'm looking forward to Marcus down the stretch with six games to go. We have an opportunity to, you know, with the punts now going to be a little bit shorter, a little bit line drives, you know, playing balls off the ground, kicks off the ground, grabbing them and go. And we work a lot on that stuff, and hopefully we'll get them an opportunity as we go.
Last one, Mike. The suspension earlier this season, how difficult was that for you? And in looking back at anything, is there anything you'd like to share with the audience?
No, I think it was very difficult for me and my family, but the great thing is I got a ton of support from my family. Was phenomenal. My wife, Debbie, my kids were just incredible for me, and that was a very tough time, obviously, personally, professionally as well. But the team was great. The reception I got when I came back into the building was tremendous. And these players and these coaches and this organization means a lot to me. And I'm glad I'm back.
How difficult was it watching the Rams and/or Patriots games?
It was
tough.
Where
did you watch them at home?
I watched them at home with my son Wilson and my daughter Katie.
And listen to the radio, of course.
Well, I would turn down the sound on the TV and listen to our play-by-play announcer. I can't remember what his name is, but
Pete Persich.
Yeah,
does a great job.
No, I know Pete. I was trying to tease you.
Yeah, right. Got it.
No, but. Yeah, that was hard, but I'm back and I'm excited. I'm glad to be back, and let's go beat the Pack.
Yep, good luck to you. Okay,
thanks, Paul.
That's Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings on X's and O's, and we thank him for joining us. Likewise for Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, and we invite you to join host Mike Musselman along with Vikings cornerback the Captain Munnerlyn for Vikings Country tomorrow night, 6:00 at Carboni's in Lakeville. That's fantastic. Moss, the host of Vikings Football Sunday with Captain Munnerlyn, giving you the opportunity to win great prizes, including tickets to watch the Vikings from the Miller Lite Party Deck. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. Now, this weekend, it's the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Vikings Football Sunday on the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan begins from TCF Bank Stadium and the McNamara Center, where you can come by and say hello to yours truly, Greg Coleman and Mike Musselman, at 10 a.m. Network affiliates pick up Vikings Football Sunday at 11 a.m. Then, boom, the kickoff against one of the hotter teams in the NFL off the last two games, the Green Bay Packers, is shortly after noon. Green Bay, in beating Chicago and Philadelphia at Lambeau Field, scored at least 50 points in each game. There are just a handful of teams in the history of the NFL to score 50 points or more in consecutive games. We're happy for Green Bay, right? You do need to know this. There never has been a team in the history of the NFL to score at least 50 points in a game three consecutive weeks. Let's make sure we are not on the wrong side of that this weekend. Let's pull the upset. Let's beat the Green Bay Packers and do so at noon Sunday from TCF Bank Stadium. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. The executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. The on-site producer here from the Xfinity Studios is Jay Nelson. And the radio producer of this evening's show is Eric Nordquist. For all of us with KFAN and the Minnesota Vikings, I'm Paul Allen. That is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.